The compassion of Jesus Christ. The compassion of Jesus Christ. Many of us, many people have a, whether you are a believer or an atheist or an agnostic, everyone has a thought or ideal about Jesus. Many people have an idea about who Jesus is, who he claims to be, who they think he is. And many people have an idea about the church. You ask people whether they're atheists or not, everyone has a thought or idea about the church and about Jesus Christ. And now some of that may be rooted in facts. Some of it is rooted in how they feel. Some of it is rooted about in their past experiences with those who claim the name of Jesus Christ. But I want to make sure that we understand that when we talk about Jesus and we want to have an opinion about Jesus, it wants to be rooted in his word. What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about Jesus? Because that is the foundation of the Christian faith, is what we believe the word of God says about Jesus, and based on that, how we are to live our lives. And so when we think about, as we're going through the Gospel of Mark, we see over and over again that Jesus is preaching the gospel. His ministry is to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ, to reconcile mankind back to God the Father. But also in his ministry of preaching, he's also is doing miracles. He is healing people. He is feeding people. So Jesus not only is preaching the word of God, he's also taking care of people's physical needs. In other words, Jesus is showing compassion to people in many areas, not just in proclaiming the gospel, but also in healing people. Say, hey, here are people who have a need, and Jesus' love for them is moving him to do something. We call that compassion. Compassion moves us to do something. And so Jesus is doing something. Last week, we saw that Jesus healed a woman's daughter who was demon-possessed. He healed her because she came, she was heartbroken, and she begged him to heal her daughter, and he healed her daughter of that disease. Now he goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he's trying to get away and try to get some rest, and yet people hear about Jesus coming, and what do? They bring people to Jesus. Now, if you remember this area in Mark chapter 5, Jesus is going back to an area where he did some work in. Jesus is going to an area where he sent this guy who was demon-possessed. He had healed this man, and this man wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, don't go, don't come with me. Go home and tell your family and friends how much I've done for you. And this man, the Bible says he went to this area of the capitalist and told everybody the great things Jesus had done for him. So in this point, Jesus' fame and what he had done is known to this community because the man went and shared what Jesus did for him based on Jesus told him, go and tell your family and friends how much compassion the Lord has had on you. So this man went and did that. And when he did that and told people what Jesus had done for him, so now when Jesus comes to the town, what are they expecting? They are expecting a compassionate, merciful Jesus. And then people say, hey, Jesus has come to town. And when he comes to town, what do? They come to where he is. And it says that these people now, it says that this man did not come. It says that his friends brought him to Jesus. Thank God for friends, isn't it? Thank God that you have some friends that will bring you to Jesus. You know, and this is a side note. You know, friends do not let friends die without Jesus. If you are a friend, if you have a friend, and you say, man, this is my friend, and you know Jesus, you should want your friend to know Jesus. I mean, you should want your family member and all your friends to know who Jesus is, because you know that when they come to Jesus, he's going to heal them and set them free. So friends don't let friends die without Jesus. So they bring this man to Jesus based on what they've heard about Jesus. And what have they heard about Jesus? That he's a compassionate man. That he's full of compassion and love. And so my key truth this morning is this, is that compassion and love was at the forefront of Jesus' ministry on earth. He had compassion for people and he had love for people. That was at the forefront of his ministry, and that's why people consistently brought people to Jesus, and that's why people came to Jesus. Now, when we think about that, if compassion and love was at the forefront of Jesus' ministry, What should be at the forefront of the church's ministry? Compassion and love. Because while we are the body of Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ, we are examples of what Christ is to be to the world. So if we are known for compassion and love, shouldn't we be bringing our friends and our family to Jesus to receive compassion and love? That's what the church should be known for. Unfortunately, sometimes the church isn't known for compassion. We're known for condemnation and not love. We're known for hate. That shouldn't be the church of Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that if you go to any church that's full of condemnation and hate, that is not the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is made up of compassion and love. And don't we need in our world today more people full of compassion and love? I don't know about you that, you know, when you watch the television and you watch the news, there's not a whole bunch of compassion and love, is it? There's a whole bunch of condemnation and hate. I don't know about you, when you go on your social media page, on Twitter, if you have that, it's not a whole bunch of compassion and love. It's a whole bunch of what? Condemnation and hate. I mean, just this week, you watch the news. I mean, some of you watching the Olympics. I know I am. Some of you know, watching some of it, not all of it. You know, I don't watch badminton, but I watch some of the other stuff, you know, the track and the field. But hey, if you like badminton, God bless you. But anyway, so just watching the Olympics, and you know, we had this young lady named Simone Biles who decided to drop out because she said, you know, mentally she wasn't there and she didn't want to be out there and could hurt herself. And so she said, you know what, I can't do this. And when you watched on Twitter, there was some compassion, but that was a whole bunch of condemnation and hate. And when you think about that, most of the people who are condemning somebody are the ones who couldn't do a backflip or, you know, do a handstand. And they're doing the most condemnation and hating somebody, and they can't run around the corner without passing out. Yeah, I mean, think about that. I'm like, man, most of the people that can't do what she does is the one who's the most hateful and the most condemning. I'm like, where's the compassion and the love? Where is that at? And shouldn't we be people of compassion and love to one another? Shouldn't we represent Christ? I mean, you think about it, what does this young lady need? Compassion and love. What do you and I need today? Compassion and love. All of us could use a good dose of compassion and love. You know, something about that, you just make us feel better. And here's a man who had lost his hearing, couldn't speak, and his friends had compassion on him, and they loved him so much that they decided to bring him to a compassionate person known as Jesus Christ. They heard about him. Now, they heard good things about Jesus, and the good things they heard decided, we're going to take a trip, and we're going to take our friend to see Jesus. We're going to take our friend to see Jesus. So we're going to unpack this story a little bit and see what happened when these people brought their friend to Jesus. They brought their friend to Jesus. I'm sure they had a conversation. Jesus, here's our friend. They told him a little bit about their friend. He can't hear, he can't talk, and we would love for you to heal him. Matter of fact, the verse says, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. So the friend not just asked, they really was imploring and begging Jesus to lay his hand on their friend. The man couldn't speak for himself, but his friend spoke for him, and they brought him to Jesus and said, Jesus, just lay hands on our friend, and we believe he will be here. What they're saying, Jesus, have mercy on this man, have compassion on our buddy, and heal him. Well, Jesus does something. It says that Jesus took him aside. So he's in the crowd. Jesus takes him. Now, the man cannot hear and he can't speak, so Jesus had to grab his hand and leads him. He takes him aside from the crowd privately. Now, this man has Jesus' undivided attention. Privately is just this man standing before Jesus. Now, can you imagine this man? He can't hear. All he can do, he can see, but he can't hear. So Jesus talking to him, he can't hear what he's saying. So Jesus takes him aside, and he does something. Now, you may say, this is an odd way to heal somebody. He puts his fingers into his ears. Anybody want to be an example of me putting my finger in your ears right now, show you how you did it? Didn't we just put them right there? No, he's a he'll do it. Nah, we're in a pandemic, brother. But I know I'm just. So Jesus sticks his fingers in this man's ear. He sticks his fingers in his ears. Then he does something else. He spits on his hands. Now he said he spits in his hands. Jesus spits in his hand, and he does something. He touches the man's tongue. See, come on, Jesus. Can you just lay hands on me? You got to put your fingers in my ear and spit it, you know. But see, some of y'all, that mean y'all ain't desperate. See, all y'all proving right now that y'all some bougie people. Y'all some bougie Christians. See, me, if I ain't been healed, if I can't hear, hey, do what you got to do, spit, do something. Because I'm desperate, right? This man, so Jesus is also acting out what he's about to do. He puts his fingers in his ear, then he spits and touches his tongue. Then he says, looking up to heaven, he looks up now. He lets the man see, I've touched your ears, I've touched your tongue, now looking up to God. And he sighed. Why did Jesus sigh? Because he's heartbroken over this man's condition. He's heartbroken on this man's condition. Even though he's going to do something about it, but yet the effects of what has happened to this man still affects Jesus. He has compassion. And he sighs. And he speaks, Ephphatha, that he says, be open. And the man's ears are open. And his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Now that means that this man was not born deaf. He said he spoke plainly. So he has a command of some language. It means that he lost his hearing. And he could not speak clearly. He had a speech impediment, because when you lose your hearing, it affects how you speak. His ears open up and he begins to speak plainly. Then Jesus tells him, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what I just did for you. And the more he charged them, the more zealous they proclaimed it. Now think about this. If you have been deaf for a long time, and Jesus opens your ears and you're able to speak and talk, you're talking to people, do you think you're going to be quiet about who healed you? Do you think you're going to be like, do you think you're not going to, they see you talking. What happened to you? Oh, none. Bro, something happened. You weren't talking for 10 years. What happened to you? So it's almost like, Jesus, you putting this man in a man, okay, what do I say? Why is Jesus telling him not to tell? Well, I think because Jesus, remember I say he is compassionate and he's a healer. But I think in the real sense, Jesus did not want his ministry to only be about healing. Because you know that Jesus didn't come just to heal us physically. He really came to die for our sins. It says that Jesus came, it says in Matthew chapter 1, I think it says that he came to deliver his people from their sins. See, our biggest issue is not our physical condition. Our biggest issue is our spiritual condition. And our spiritual condition is that sin, and the wages of sin is death. And Christ came to do what? Heal us of our spiritual condition, which is sin, because it is our sin that separates us from God. So Jesus Christ came to proclaim and to bring us back into a right relationship with God the Father. Yes, he healed people, but he did not want healing to be the main purpose of his ministry. He came proclaiming and teaching. Why? I believe number one is this, that Jesus is after our hearts, because that more than anything else, it was what needs to be changed. Now, you can come to Jesus, you can get a healing. You know that people can get healed from Jesus and still not come to faith in Jesus? You know that people can, I told you, I've met people who have told me out their own mouth, hey man, I almost died in a car accident, I almost died, but God healed me. I said, hey man, are you following Jesus? I know. But you just told me it was him that set you free, or God healed you, but yet it hasn't motivated you enough to follow him. Everybody that Jesus fed didn't become a follower of Jesus. I mean, we would like to believe that everybody he fed became a believer. Some of them only came because he was giving out biscuits and fish. They just came because they were hungry. Some people only came just because he was a healer. But the question is that, does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? Do you believe in Jesus that he has your heart and that transforms everything about you? See, when God has your heart, then he has everything. And that's what he's after, and we need to have our hearts changed. We need a heart transplant because out of our heart comes all kinds of things. As Jesus said, out of our heart comes what? Sinfulness or adultery and those things, evil, vile. It comes out of our heart. It is the heart that defiles us. And it is our heart that needs to be changed. So yes, Jesus healed this man. But then he told him, don't tell anybody what I did for you. And I can understand Jesus' point, but I definitely can understand the man's point. He says, the more zealously they proclaimed it. How could you not proclaim the goodness of Jesus? How could you not tell what he has done for you? And they said, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Think about that. What has God done for you? What has Jesus done for you? And the question to ask yourself, am I as zealous as this man who had his hearing restored? Do you know that it says that in our day and time that the average Christian doesn't share their faith? That the average Christian among us, some of you haven't shared your faith all week, all month. We say, oh, Pastor, it's just August. I'm talking about last month then. For you smart aleck Christians, I got it, man. Yeah, no. Last month. It says most Christians don't share their faith. It says that the longer we've been walking with Jesus, the quieter we become about our faith. We just become accustomed to the goodness of Jesus Christ, and we become accustomed to him blessing us. But when was the last time we blessed someone else? When last time we invited someone to church and said, man, let me tell you about a man. Let me tell you about the compassion of Jesus. Let me tell you about the love of Jesus. Let me tell you about my church. Let me tell you about what God has done for me. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were so zealous for Jesus that we tell everybody, our friends and our families, about Jesus? In a real sense, our church should be standing room only. Because we're so compassionate about telling people about Jesus, we let our neighbors or our families die without Jesus. We're going to tell them because now Jesus says to us in the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples. He says, now go tell them. He says, don't keep it a secret. But in this standpoint, he says, don't tell nobody, and they tell everybody. And they were astonished. And what did the people say about Jesus? He has done all things well. And that's good news. That Jesus has done all things well. There is no fault in Jesus Christ. He has done all things well. When you read the Bible, Jesus Christ, all Jesus Christ came to do was to love people, to heal people, and to die for people, and to set us free. He has done all things well. And what that means that you and I should be saying that Jesus Christ has never done me wrong. He's always done good by me. He has done all things well. Hasn't he? Don't you know Jesus? Has he done well by you? Has he been good to you? And that means that we should have some sense of joy in our life when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about his presence. Because I believe this man, once he had his hearing, I believe his joy came back too. That there was a difference in his, walk, in his talk, in his mannerism. I'm pretty sure he was broken because there's nothing that you, now man, you all know that when we get sick, boy, we think we're about to die. I'm serious. You know, when a woman gets sick, she can still get up and take care of the baby, feed, cook the house. We get sick, man, oh, I can't do nothing. I mean, we can barely move. I mean, call my mama, call somebody. Women still get up and cook and everything. We get sick, it's a wrap. I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. But also, when men physically lose something, it leads to their depression. See, when a man gets physically sick of something, it leads to them quickly getting depressed. So can you imagine this man being depressed? Because we live in a world where he has to work, he can't really hear, he can't really talk. So now he has become disabled. And he's known now as someone who needs to be helped around. And now his ears have been opened, and then something changes about the man. There's a joy that's in his life. I'm pretty sure if there was a bell to be rung, he'd have rung that bell. I've been healed, amen? Because now he said, man, he has joy in his life. And I'm praying, he said, man, Jesus has done all things well. He has done what he said I heard he could do. He has done it. He has healed me. And in this place that we stand today, this morning where we're sitting, should be people in here who have that same testimony, Jesus has done all things well. Amen? Let's be listening. Jesus has done all things well. Yeah, I know what you say about it, but let me tell you what he's done for me. He's done all things well. Yeah, I know what you say about it, but he has healed my family. He's healed my marriage. He's healed my home. He's done all things well. He's been good to me. He is compassionate, and what he did for me, he'll do for you. He has done all things well. Why wouldn't you serve a God like that? I know. I would. I am. And we can't keep it to ourselves. Amen? Right. We shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Right. He says he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. They're saying, Jesus, there's something different about this Jesus. Not only is he casting out demons, he's getting people restoring their hearing and their speech. They're like, wow. See, Jesus is not only the Savior, but he's also fulfilling prophecy. He's also fulfilling prophecy. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 35. It's on the screen here. It's going to come up, Isaiah 35. And here's what Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, said about the coming Messiah. He said, say to those who have an anxious heart, anybody anxious in here? Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come, vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Wow. For waters break forth in the wilderness and screams in the desert. Now think about that. The mute would do what? Sing for joy. Now think about it. So that means the fact that we should have, in God's presence, there should be some joyful singing. That's why we started our worship service off with singing. Why? Because we have been healed and we have been set free. So we have the mute. We are singing for joy in this place. There should be some joyful singing in the presence of God's people because we have been set free and we're full of joy. People should see the compassion of Jesus in our lives, in our mannerism. Even when we come to worship, they should see, man, those folks believe in God. They believe in what they're saying. That's what it means to say Jesus Christ has done all things well. It was like a man who came to church. He was an atheist, and he came to the famous preacher's church, D.L. Moody, one day, and he asked him, man, aren't you an atheist? He said, yeah. He said, well, you don't believe in God. Why are you coming to this church? And he said, I don't believe in God. But see that man up there preaching? I believe he does. And that's why I keep coming. Because something about him is making me believe that I believe that he believes in what he's saying. That he believes in God. And his passion and his joy is making me come back. I believe that our compassion and our joy should drive atheists to want to check out what God is doing. I think that our joy and our compassion should make skeptics a believer. That how we live our lives, not only here in this building, beyond the walls, on our jobs, in our community, where we are, should make folks say, man, I want to come and check out and see why you do what you do, why you who you are, why you have so much joy. It's because of Jesus. And I can't keep it to myself. He's done too much. He's done all things well. I can't be quiet about what Jesus Christ has done. And I believe that if we spend more time sharing the gospel by sharing gossip, we'll see more people saved. Amen. If we spend more time sharing the gospel, we spend more time tweeting out the word of God, telling folks about the goodness of God, we'll see our friends and our family members come to God because they'll see, man, something different about you. All you're doing is tweet out the goodness of Jesus on your Facebook page. All you're talking about is scriptures about God. And believe it or not, your friends are watching what you tweet. They see you when you tweet something out hateful. Now, they won't say it to your face. They told me. I thought she was a Christian. Mm. No. They may not never say it to your face. They'll say it behind your back. Go to church every Sunday, and all we got on her timeline is hateful stuff.